Alrighty, it is 8:05 on this Friday morning, and of course, as I mentioned earlier, we will be live down at the Arbor Fuller Hospital in South Attleboro. That is tomorrow from noon to 4 p.m. Of course, Elaine LaRoche and Tom Rafferty will be starting things off. I'll be down there for about an hour or so myself, because I do have a few things that I need to get to figure out tomorrow as well, and then heading into work later on tomorrow afternoon. But it all starts at 11 a.m. tomorrow, 11 to 4, down at the Arbor Fuller Hospital. That, of course, is the former name, or the newer name, of the Fuller Memorial Hospital in South Attleboro. All right, coming up to 6 minutes after the hour, so there's still some overcast skies right now and 50 degrees, and meteorologist Jim Corbin now live in studio. Good morning, Jim.
Hello, Norm.
You made it in.
Within the last 20 seconds.
Yes, and not really doing much at all.
No, I had a sprinkle when I left Mansfield. There was a few, like you experienced the other day, a couple of drops on the windshield, but that's it. Coming down through Richardson Avenue and nothing going on. What I did have, though, is a lot of tree pollen that fortunately will be washed away by the rain that's coming in this afternoon. A lot of pollen on my car. There are some juniper trees and some pine trees near where I typically have to park, and a lot of pollen on the windshield when I use the windshield wiper, all that pollen kind of collected on the side. So that is an issue. Even though today the pollen count is down, you might be dealing with that. But, boy, we have a lot of rain coming up over the next...
You're going to need your windshield wipers.
Oh, you're going to need to make sure it works. And what else is new, though, Dom? Even though it isn't raining, it's cloudy. And guess what I saw coming in the last 20 minutes as driving?
No headlights on people.
I'd say half the people. Now, I understand it's not raining yet, but and there are a lot of cars or automobiles, SUVs, whatever, that have... our older cars, and therefore they might not have automatic lights coming on.
Right.
We've talked about this before. But, you just want to put your lights on. And if this afternoon, I'm going to be out for a little while this afternoon in the rain, if I see more of that, I'll be it'll make me even more upset, only because, even Paul Healy brings this up on occasion, when it's snowing and automobiles are white, they're tough to see.
Yeah.
Well, just on a dreary situation, sometimes you go around a bend, like this afternoon, going to be very dreary, thick cloud cover, rain tonight, this evening. Without lights, you are tough to see, So, just make sure you have your lights on.
Yeah, make sure everything is working correctly. Since the last time you were here, we had some on and off weather. We had some warm weather, we had some colder weather here and there. But May is one of those months, but you never know what's going to happen next.
Well, yeah, almost really every month is that way. I would say the least challenging forecasting the weather, for not just myself, but if you talk to any meteorologist, is the summertime. The only thing you're really dealing with is it going to rain or is it not? And if it's going to rain, will there be thunder?
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. So we're starting to get into, I'd say the easiest months to forecast, I'd say, are probably, I'd say June, July, August, and September generally. Now, again, in September, we sometimes, on rare occasions, have to deal with, hurricanes and tropical storms, but even those only happen every few years. So we're getting into the time frame where it's less fickle. April, March, and April are in the first part of the year are the fickle months, and then November and December, my favorites. As I always say, if we didn't have Thanksgiving and Christmas in November and December, a lot of people would go crazy. Those are the worst, gloomiest months of the year, short days and everything. But I like May because the flowers are out, except for most of the oak trees. It's really now spring. I call it sprinter as we go through March and April, because you can get spring temperatures one day, and then you can get winter and snow the next. Now we're in the season I consider spring around here in New England, and I've mentioned this to you before, right around the last week of April, when most of the flowers are out and most of the trees have at least heavy budding or some leaves on them. The oaks are usually the ones that don't. If you look around the Attleboro area, Providence, and you see some trees with no leaves on them, those are usually the oaks. They're the last to do it in the spring and the last to drop their leaves in the fall. So I consider now through about the first week of June as spring. Now you say, okay, who am I to say what it is? That's what I consider it. It's the shortest of the four seasons. Spring around here is the shortest as far as I'm concerned. And you've heard it from a lot of people. You go from almost winter to summer right away. You don't have much of a spring around here. That's exactly right. And the reason why, not the 100% reason, but the main reason why is we are surrounded by the cold ocean here in southeastern Mass and Rhode Island. So what happens is, like you experienced a couple of weeks ago in Jamestown, where it was like 80, I think it was Easter, right?
Yes, yeah. It was.
Easter was like 80, 85. You remember that Easter was in the 80s when in the Attleboro area, and then you head down to Jamestown, and it's in the 50s, you know, and cold enough that you said, let's get out of here, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So we're bringing this up again because we do have still a changing weather in May, but as each day passes through May, you don't get as much variation. And in fact, after today, we're going to have very little variation all next week, albeit not the greatest, because we're going to have a lot of cloudy days with some sun, essentially right through. I'm looking at, matter of fact, I'm going to head back quickly after the show because I want to check the latest. And then when I check in with Paul just after 10, the long ranges could possibly keep the same general weather pattern for the next 2 weeks, which means that we're not going to have a lot of change, but then again, we're not going to have a lot of sunny days either. So hopefully everyone enjoyed the last 2 days of sunshine. Of course, 2 days ago it was the sunshine and the puffy dark bottom clouds. Yesterday it was the sunshine and the high thin clouds, and those high clouds late in the afternoon yesterday introduced the storm that we're going to get this afternoon. Again, a little bit of light rain off and on this morning, but I'd say the most of it coming in after about 12 or 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, when we get into this heavy rain, and you've talked about this many, many times, including this morning, you do have that problem of flooding and the puddling on the the ponding on the streets and the a lot of the streams and rivers, some of them may overflow.
It could be in a very minor way. Yeah. That's why we're under the flood watch. It kicks in at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Our good friends over at the Weather Service in Taunton, Miles Standish Boulevard, if you know where that is, that's where they're located. If you see the big white dome there, ball on top, that's their radar that covers all of southeastern New England. That radar is going to be really cranking this afternoon. By the way, and people have asked me this, now that's the radar. Now, where are the next ones? Well, they're all scattered around the nation. The next closest one from Taunton is the one down in central Long Island, New York. Then there's one just north of Albany. There's one just north of Portland, Maine. There's one up in northern Maine, up near Presque Isle, and there's one near Burlington, Vermont. So we've got about Taunton radar there is the only one in Massachusetts that is that type of radar. There are a few others, smaller ones. But the point being, though, that we're going to see the flood watch kicks in at 2 o'clock. That doesn't mean that suddenly at 2:01 everything's going to be flooded out. It just means that's when we have to really start monitoring, as you just asked, the streams and rivers. And, as you said, the big puddles. We're going to have street flooding. It's going to be one of those situations. And, of course, on a Friday, late afternoon, the commute going to be kind of a tough one for travel. Windshield wipers will be cranking. But also you hit those patches of deep water on the side, and you have the classic sound, the boo sound as you go through the water. That's what's going to happen. And, of course, Friday night, a lot of people go out. So that is going to be an issue. Just everyone wants – you just want to take it easy, because I can't stress enough that, you know, people say, oh, I don't care. As long as it's not – we're not going to get a snowstorm or a hurricane, that it's not going to be that bad. Sometimes some of the worst conditions or the worst accidents – and I'm not trying to promote negatives, but the worst conditions are when the storm is sort of in the – like this, you know, I've been talking all week about a baby sou'easter, you know, and having fun with it. But a sou'easter is nothing to write home about in terms of, it's nothing. We're going to get about 2 inches of rain, which and not too long a time. I mean, it's probably early afternoon through at least a little after midnight. And again, it will be raining most of the time. And the problem is with that, you have ponding of water. We have, not the best drainage in our roadways around here, our infrastructure, you know. And if you know an area that constantly gets a big puddle in it every time it rains, well, you can expect some big puddles later this afternoon and tonight. So you just want to be very careful. And as I said, hydroplaning is an issue. And sometimes, just like in the wintertime when you have like maybe a dusting of snow versus 10 inches of snow, sometimes some of the worst accidents happen with the dusting because people think that's not that bad. You know, whereas 10 inches of snow, yeah, they're going to slow down. Same thing with rainfall. You'll be, you know, obviously the streets will be wet, but you're going to have these big puddles. And again, I'm not telling anyone what they don't know, but the point being, there's going to be, I'm sure, I can almost predict it. And again, I people sometimes say to me, why do you talk about these negative things? Well, it's reality. I would predict there's going to be a lot of accidents this afternoon and tonight, being an afternoon commute on a Friday, and the fact that people will be out and about and maybe even late tonight when they're coming back home, maybe not in the best condition. It still is going to be pouring in many areas. So you just want to be very careful in this type of situation.
Yeah, and the other thing is also is when you notice a lot of this this rain coming in, a lot of times people's yards get flooded sometimes as well, depending on low area. I know there's some land locally here on the east side up on Maple Street, which kind of is, it's kind of like a gully. It's right in the backyard of somebody. And every time it rains, the whole backyard is really full. But then you get, you know, with all this rain, you also get, you know, even the front or the backyard of my house, which is flat, but you still, you know, you get a lot of that excess water that can't go anywhere.
Yeah, and again, the fact that we've had a fairly healthy, above average amount of rain in the last generally just about 5 weeks, starting on the 28th of March, we had a mixed, you might remember, the last few days of March, we had a mixed rain and snow event and a healthy dose. And then we had that 10-day stretch right after that when we had like every 2 or 3 days we had a pretty good rainstorm. And then we've had lately a few areas of rain earlier this week, and now we have this upcoming event. So the water table has come up. So you're probably going to see in that area you just mentioned off Maple Street and other areas that typically are prone, the water table is now high, and that's good for, again, the drought situation, but it will flood, and it might take a few days to actually come down because of the fact that we're not going to have a sweeping dry air mass behind this storm. In fact, the same storm that's going to hit us this afternoon, mainly, again, it's with us now, but the worst of it is this afternoon and tonight, is going to actually linger to our north and west for about 3 or 4 days, weakening it, but still enough moisture. And that's why I'm keeping showers in the forecast. And because of that, we're not going to see a lot of major drying. And so, for example, I know I'm very close to the Bank of America in Mansfield, and every for some reason they haven't fixed it. Every time it rains more than about a tenth of an inch, a portion of the parking lot there that borders on 106 is covered by water, and it's on either side. It's all just like a berm all around, and the water collects, and sometimes it's there for several days. People still have to drive in there. Now, it might be 1 inch deep, but it's part of their parking lot that borders right by the building, and then there's a large parking lot next to it. But the point being that you have areas where we all know that have standing water, whether it's your yard, whether it's a portion of the street where you say, oh, there's always that lingering puddle. And it's the same thing in the winter when that puddle freezes. Oh, that area always ices up, and the ice sticks around, and you sometimes have to be careful driving on it, you know. And so all these little microclimates are going to be seen this afternoon and tonight and most of the weekend, because we're not going to have much dry out. So, and let me ask you, you haven't done the lawn yet, right?
No. Right? No, I have not.
So sometime next week you might be able to sneak it in. But,
yeah,
but that's again, that's another thing. Again, we talked about this the last few days. Without drying, unless you have one of those really high powered lawnmowers, for example, anyone trying to mow their lawn this weekend, it's gonna be a tough go, and you might end up clogging the mower underneath and stuff, because of the fact that we're gonna get 2 inches of rain on average by this time tomorrow, probably about 2 inches of rain. By the way, that would be, if we use a 10-to-1 rule, that would be
two feet.
20 inches.
20
inches.
Yeah,
that's
20,
close, though,
that's
close. 20, yeah. 20 inches of snow we're getting in the next 18, 20 hours. No, fortunately, it is rain. But the point is, again, if you have plants, they're looking great. They're going to get watered by this storm. But the one negative is anything involving mowing grass this weekend. It's going to be a tough go. And even a portion of next week, we still have a few showers.
Yeah,
in the forecast.
I can see a 10-day forecast. We got some partly cloudy skies in the upper 50s on Monday. But by Wednesday through Friday, it looks like we're going to get quite a bit of rain. And even looks like for Mother's Day, we're going to get some rain as well.
I was going to say that. Today is a Cinco de Mayo. Mother's Day is Catorce de Mayo, for the 14th of May. I was going to bring that up because everyone brings up this Cinco de Mayo. And then yesterday was what? With Star Wars or something?
No, May the 4th. Yeah, that one.
I mean, every day could probably be like 6th of May, 6th of May, you know, is there something about that?
Yeah.
Tomorrow, you know, whatever. But Mother's Day.
Tomorrow is this. this anniversary to this radio station.
That's right.
Four years ago.
You said that earlier, yeah. And your anniversary of, or is it tomorrow, of starting in radio, right?
It's today. May 5th, 1984 is when I first was hired here at AM 1320 when it was on when we were up in the Bronson Building. And it was 4 years ago tomorrow where we started broadcasting from this studio on Union Street. And it's also exactly tomorrow is, I believe it's the second anniversary for the WARA name because we got it in May of 2015. And today, I believe tomorrow is the anniversary of that.
It seems to be the time of year to start up things. But oh, that's interesting. Yeah, and also, again, Mother's Day, again, a week from this Sunday, there is some chance of rain, but that's 9 days out. Yeah. So, as I always say, let's not lose sleep over it. If you have plans you've already made for Mother's Day, and there might be a shower in the forecast. Oh, no, forget it. Here we are 9 days before. Now, obviously, you don't want to do that. But we have, of course, this Wednesday, I think it's Diaz de Mayo?
Probably,
I think Diaz, and I took French, actually, more than Spanish, but the 10th of this month, coming up next Wednesday, is the full flower moon. We're going to have a lot of flowers around on the 10th, but we may not...
all the rain, yes, it will be very much.
We're not going to see much of the moon either, I don't think. Again, this type of weather pattern, after the storm goes by, the tendency is to have more of the clouds during the day, so we're likely to break out. So we'll see the moon, but it's going to be probably next week. The full moon will be sort of the type of moon where it's in the clouds and then it goes back out. You see it, and then the clouds cover it back at night. That's the type of the situation I think we're in. So if you're someone, as we joked about earlier, over the years, there are some people that don't like it warm because they don't want to dress light and show what they really have a tendency to look like. And so this weather pattern is actually good for that because I don't see any temperatures outside of tomorrow when it'll still be a few showers around. Outside of tomorrow, I see most days beginning Sunday in the 50s and 40s at night. So unless you're the kids of the modern age who barely dress enough these days, I mean, middle of the winter, they're walking around in shorts and short sleeves. And again, I don't know what it is. It's a culture thing. I remember one day this winter, Dom, I saw some kids walking down in Mansfield, right down the main drag, you know, almost showing themselves off. It must have been, I'd say, about 10, 15 degrees. It was a sunny day, but it was about 10 to 15 degrees, and all three of them, I think they were boys, all had, one of them had shorts and a short-sleeved shirt, and the other two had, like, cut-off jeans with the holes in the knees. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, are they walking down the street for, like, just a couple of minutes to go into some, or have they been walking around for, like, a half an hour. Mm-hmm. It's amazing with the kids these days. You know, if anyone listening wants to talk about that, I get a kick out of it. In the last few years, it seems like these kids, millennials even, but although young millennials probably, dress barely enough for the weather. So if anyone is listening and calls in and can agree with you.
Yeah, exactly. Now, if you'd like to, or any other give a comment or whatever you want us to say good morning and say hi to Jim, phone lines are open at 508-222-1320. The other thing is, when you talked about that just a second ago, with the kids, when I'm over at the casino, I see some of the adults during this past winter, the very, very cold days, some of the days that we had the snowstorms, some of the people, about 5 to 10% of the people, they were coming in short pants and so. I mean, you still see them now, but I mean, it's, you know, if that's what they're wearing, that's fine. But I remember the day that we had all of that snow, we were doing some promotion or people just sitting at their machines, you know, looking like it was summertime. I mean, they had short sleeve shirts. They had no jacket on. They walked in the building and it was.
So it's not like they were carrying it and they had it before.
Unless they left it at the coat room, wherever. But these people had on sandals. I mean, sandals. And we had 3 feet of snow out there, whatever it is, but whatever. All right, we have a phone call. Yes, we do have a phone call with us, and we're going to go right to it this morning. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning, Dominic.
Hey, good morning, Dan.
How you doing?
All right. It's Dan's daughter's birthday today. Kayla, right?
That's right.
Kayla's birthday today. She's 27, right?
27, yeah.
So how is the proud dad doing this on Cinco de Mayo today?
Doing good. I'm out and about doing my pickup for the food seller for tonight.
Yeah.
So, get that done, and then I got a busy day ahead of me, and then I got to go, I got her a gift already, but I got to get some paper to wrap that, and tomorrow night we're going to go out, take her out to eat, Brandon, Linda, and myself, so the four of us will go out to eat for a nice little meal.
Nice, so I hope you enjoy it, that's for sure.
Yes, yes. How you doing, Jim?
Good, Dan. Nice to hear from you.
Same here. When you were talking about the shorts, you know me.
Yes.
You know, the wintertime shorts. It basically, you know, it's not a trend for me. It's not a statement. It's just after all those years of being dressed up and going to work, and when I was finished, I said, the heck with this. I'm going to basically become a beach bum and wear my shorts, T-shirt, and sweatshirt. Some people become a little crazy in the wintertime, but like I said, it doesn't really bother me. When it gets real cold, yeah, I'll put on my, you know, pants or dungarees or whatever, but for the most part,
it's more of a comfort factor, right?
Yeah, it is.
But if you're going to be, if you know though, on a cold winter day, or if it's snowing out, that you're going to have to be outdoors for like a couple of hours or something, which might not be usually the case. But would you still possibly wear shorts in that situation?
No, like I said, if I'm going to be out in the snow or for a while, no. You know, like I said, I mean, if it's 30 out, I could be in shorts. But yeah. I mean, if we get down into the 20s or colder, or if it's a real nasty day with snow or rain or something like that, you know, I'll be in long pants for sure.
Yeah. Well, when you think about it, I've always thought of this as well. When we dress, basically from the waist up, we usually will dress in layers. But when from the waist down, usually it's just pants, and you know, even if it's a thick coating of pants, I think there's a tendency to feel colder on the upper part of the body as opposed to the lower part of the body. If not, then we'd be dressing with like three layers of pants,
yeah,
right? When you think about it, right? When it's a cold day, you've got usually a T-shirt, you've got a regular shirt, maybe a coat, at least three layers, or maybe four. Whereas when was the last time you remember wearing like on your legs three or four layers of clothes? You don't. And for some reason, I've thought of that over the years, and I've said this must be because we don't feel as cold below the waist. Maybe there's less blood flow or something. I don't know. But I've always jokingly thought of that, as I like to always joke with things. You know, when was the last time you dressed with three layers of pants?
Absolutely.
Dom, have you?
Unless you were outside in knee deep in snow or something like that, you've got your regular. Well, yeah, it's, you don't usually wear that all that much.
You don't really feel it that cold. I mean, you'll have thermal underwear, so you know you might have that, and then a heavy pair of pants on a cold winter day. But you don't wear like three or four layers.
Right.
Whereas you would generally on the top, you know, wearing a T-shirt, a shirt, a coat, maybe a second coat. You might even wear four layers on a bitter cold day, whereas you might only wear one or two layers for your pants.
Or some people may wear two sets of gloves when they're outside, you know, in the snow as well.
Now, Dan, do you wear gloves at all or when it's cold?
Yeah, no, I do. Sometimes I, if it's really cold, yes, I'll wear gloves. And, you know, I have my winter hat and stuff like that. So, like I said, it all depends on what the weather's like. But when you think about it, too, it's kind of like going back to baseball. See, I used to play a lot of baseball and then softball back then. And we could start in March, and we could play right up till Thanksgiving, right? And you think about the players way back when. You know, they wore the high socks. They had those thin pants, and they basically had their shirt. Now today, with all these companies that have come out, Puma, Nike, and all that, you know, you see these guys, you know, they have like that. What, I don't know if it's not like thermal, but like a spandex. They wear that underneath. You know, they have like a shirt, a spandex shirt, like under their regular shirt. So, you know, it's changed. It really has.
Yeah. Well, again, it's what makes you comfortable. Whatever, if you can be comfortable in what you wear. And, of course, this afternoon it's going to be, pelting rain, and so you want to have water-repellent clothing if you're going to be out.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm hoping that, like I said, I'm here at the food cellar now. I'm making my drop-off, and then I have some errands to run, and like I said, go get some wrapping paper for Kayla, and hopefully be in later when it gets...
The Boston Poetry Slam.
Yeah, but I'll have to come back. I have to be back out again at 5 with the food cellar, and like I said, we'll try to get the people in. We don't want to keep them out in the rain, so they're pretty good about that. We try to get them in and get them out of here, so there's no problems.
Okay, sounds good, Jan.
All right. It was both. It was nice talking to both of you. Thanks again, Dominic, for the birthday wish for Kayla. Like I said, Kayla, if you're out there listening, I love you. I miss you. Happy birthday, baby girl. You're the best. I love you. All right, gentlemen.
Bye, Dan.
Have a great day and enjoy.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks. All right. All right. So this is Dan McCurney. Always nice to hear from him every once in a while. You know, boy, I tell you, as you said, tomorrow as we head down to the hospital at Fuller Hospital, Arbor Fuller, they may start off at with a little bit of rain showers, but
The worst of it will be over by then. It starts at 12, right? Or at least that's when the broadcast.
Well, 11 o'clock, we're going to be down there at noontime, so we're going to probably, Jim Jones will probably bring out the equipment earlier than that morning. But when we get back on the air tomorrow morning with Elaine and then Dave, I'm sure there'll be some light rains in the area.
Yeah, the worst of it will be ending, I'd say, probably right around right around this time tomorrow, maybe a little earlier. So, but a lot of clouds and a few showers throughout the weekend. Probably overall one of the least nice weather stretches we've had. Mm. I like to consider the weekend starts like Friday evening for many, and then goes through Saturday and Sunday and Sunday night. Probably the least desirable weather weekend we've had in several months, I would say, and that says a lot because it means that we've had a lot of really good weather on weekends. Mm. I mean, back in March it might have been in the 30s, but sunny, you know, whatever. But it's a bit of a price we'll have to pay. But again, I can't stress enough that this evening, the afternoon commute, you'll probably see. If you listen to radio and traffic reports and whatever, or television traffic reports, there'll be a lot of backups, I would guess, just because of the poor visibility, the heavy spray. I mean, it's obvious. We all know this, but we just have to get ready to expect it later on today.
Yeah, exactly. All right, just after 8:30 right now, Jim Corbin live in studio with me until 9 o'clock, and, of course, Paul Healy coming your way after 9 this morning. We'll take a quick break and be back with more of Jim on this Cinco de Mayo.
The Boston Poetry Slam has presented a free poetry slam in the Otmar Gallery of the Attleboro Arts Museum since 2007. This year's slam will take place on Friday, May 19th at 7 o'clock p.m. The event will be hosted by Simone Bobian, a national slam wrangler, one-time national finalist, and co-curator of the museum's annual slam events. All members of the public are invited to attend to listen, read in the open mic, or judge the slam. For more information, visit the museum's website, attleboroartsmuseum.org.
Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, is the result of one family's journey to find answers for their autistic child. Founded by a small group of parents in 1971, Amigo has grown to include more than 30 residential homes, a fully accredited school, and applied behavioral analysis in homes, schools, and daycares. Amigo touches the lives of over 300 families in Massachusetts, offering services and programs for both children and adults with autism spectrum disorders and other developmental disabilities. For more information, please visit their website at www.amigoinc.org.
Are you one of the 30 million Americans who skip breakfast every day? We don't need to remind you that skipping breakfast can have a detrimental effect on your health. The Breakfast Place, located at 187 Pleasant Street, across from the Shell gas station, has been serving their customers meals made to order for over 30 years, using vegetables from local farms and cage-free eggs. Owner Casey Darconti opens the Breakfast Place every day from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. And for those on the go, all meals are available for takeout.
Every 66 seconds, someone in the United States develops Alzheimer's disease. Not only is the disease hard on the ones afflicted, but on their caregivers as well. On Sunday, April 30th, from 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., Community VNA will be holding their fourth annual Spring Break Luncheon to aid patients with Alzheimer's and their caregivers. Spring Break takes place at Lake Pearl, 299 Creek Street in Wrentham. This event is open to the public and features Sunday brunch, entertainment, raffles, and a silent auction. For more information about the event, you can visit www.communityvna.com or you can call 1-800-220-0110.
The Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks has been part of the Attleboro area since 1906. They have always been involved in community service and charitable fundraising, giving back to our veterans, supporting our seniors, and providing youth enrichment opportunities, such as soccer and hoop shoots, fishing derbies, and dictionary projects, while also providing academic scholarships. The Elks are over 800 strong locally, and their members are their greatest asset. To learn more, you can go to attleboroelks.org. Remember, Elks care, Elks share.
Do you want to learn more about the most famous marathon in the world? Then tune in to AACS Channel 15 this week to watch Boston Marathon History by the Mile. The presentation is based on the book of the same name by Paul Clarisi, an experienced runner of the marathon. For a schedule of when it will play on AACS 15, visit AACS.com. You can also view the presentation in high definition on the AACS Roku channel, on AACS.com, and on the AACS mobile app.
All right, back with Jim Corbin live in studio with us at 8:34 on this Friday morning. As we get into this month of May, well, first of all, as we get back from the last time we had you here, as I said, we had some interesting weather here and there, had some warm weather. But now as we get into May, we seem to get a little bit better, of course, more of the buds out on the trees, the flowers and the plants and stuff like that. Later in the month, that's most of the time when a lot of people will stop planting tomatoes and stuff like that after Memorial Day or thereabouts. This time is a good time to, if people were doing like lettuce and stuff like that, because the colder weather is actually not bad. It really won't hurt them as much.
Yeah, certain plants and vegetables, obviously can tolerate cold better than others. You know, I always remember impatience one year. George I Drive, I put the impatience in too early and in the spring, and a couple of nights later, foolishly, I should have known, but I forgot that impatience, it only got to like 33, 34 degrees, but that was enough, and they were pretty much dead wilted in the morning, so I just had to replant them, get new ones. But that's an example of a plant, whereas, in the fall, they're classically called hardy mums.
Yeah.
Those can withstand cold. That's why mums, you see them in the fall. They can last right into November, even when snow and everything else. But tomatoes and what are the other ones that are real susceptible to the cold in terms of vegetables, like
Squash, probably beans, whatever it is. But yeah, I always know.
You want to be careful, unless you put them in pots. And put them out on a nice day, and then even today, for example, you wouldn't want to probably flood the pot, and then just transplant them, and then keep an eye on things, as I always warn whenever we get a threat of a frost. We came close the other morning, but didn't for the most part, but then you just would take them in. But if you want to get them started. But most people would just rather just put them right in the ground and just wait it out to, like you say, around Memorial Day, because rarely have we had freezing temperatures. Really, through about mid-May, looking back at the records, for example, say at TF Green, Logan Airport, those are more urban locations, but even there, if you look back at the daily records, the last 32 or 33 degrees you've ever seen is generally right in the next few days. And then after that, that's it. But those are more urban locations. So if you live in a place that, they tell you too, this is a tip that people, if you like to have a somewhat longer growing season, one, you always want to plant in the south side that faces south, because that way, even if the night is cold, there's radiation coming off, giving off from, the foundation of the house. Or if you have a slope, you always want to plant generally up the slope a little bit, because the colder air will drain down to the bottom. So you never want to, if you want to avoid frost, to try to extend even by a week a growing season in your yard. Say you're growing a vegetable garden, or even plants like impatiens, although they're usually ones that you put out front in the border or whatever. You don't want to plant right at the bottom of a pit in your yard, because that's where you're going to collect. You could stick a thermometer on certain nights, and I've done it because I'm dealing with instruments all the time. You might have a 10-foot slope in your yard, and the temperature could easily be 5-10 degrees colder right at the bottom of that slope than 20 feet up the slope, where the temperature is higher, because on a night with light winds, that's when we worry about the frost, the cold air will drain down into the hole. So you never want to, unless you really don't care, and you'll still have a growing season, you just won't have it as long. You never want to plant a vegetable garden in the lowest spot of your yard. You always want to plant it up high so that if you want it to last a little longer, because the cold air has a tendency to drain down into that low spot. That's sometimes where you'll see on certain mornings, for example, you'll see frost, but not all over your grass. You'll say, why is there frost over there, but not there? And a lot of times it's either the frost is you're too close to the house, so you're getting a little bit of radiation from the house, or the elevation is sloping off. And I don't know if you can picture that where you are, Dom. Mm-hmm. Can you picture sometimes in the when there's a frost on the grass, there's a certain area that seems like it's yeah. always frost, or and there's another area that doesn't seem to get it as much?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple of slopes in the backyard. We'll see that every once in a while, and yeah. some places you don't.
And this is all microclimate. We talk about climate in general is our day-to-day weather and what we get, but microclimates are just that, micro. They're little climates that you have in your yard, places that collect rain. You know, you can make your own microclimates. You know, in the wintertime, a rule of thumb, and I've said this, you can use leaves and snow at the same time. Well, not at the same time, usually in the fall. But if you have leaves and you don't want to rake them out of your yard in the fall, push them up in the fall. You don't mm-hmm. want to do this in the summertime because it'll collect a lot of ticks and everything else. But if you're in the November, say, and you're like, you still got all the leaves now have come off the trees, push the leaves all into your against your house, maybe against the bushes that are near the house, and that'll act as an insulator. So if you have a cellar, it'll actually be warmer in the cellar. And the same thing when there's snow, you want to, and especially snow is good because it's an insulator. It's one, but two, you're not dealing generally with insects. Push the snow up against your, if you have, you know, if nothing better to do. I mean, I know here we are talking about snow in May, but this is an issue with the microclimate. You can actually make it warmer in your house for various ways. We've talked about windows and opening, you know, shades and closing shades and things like that. But you can actually help out on your heating bill by pushing leaves up against it in the fall when it's starting to get cold and you still have leaves around. Push them up against your insulation. You might say, oh, it's not going to look good. Well, most people don't care what your house looks like from the street, especially in the winter, because you don't have flowers there anywhere. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so push that up. And in the wintertime, if you have the first big snowfall, might happen in December, might be January, throw some of the snow that's in that's a couple of feet out from the foundation, throw it up against the foundation for maybe a foot high, and you'd be surprised how much that can act like an insulator and actually keep it a little bit warmer, say in your cellar, or if it's still the first floor elevation. And it really helps, not a major way, but all these things we can manipulate the weather. And we talked about this, you know, a day like today, there's not too much you can say, except I know some people have rain barrels, and today is a day where they will collect a lot of rain. What rain barrels do, not only do you get free water out of it, and if you have, sometimes you'll have they come with filters at times, but they're the top of the barrel is wider than the bottom, so it's an open barrel. Sometimes 10 feet wide, 10 feet round, and then it slopes down so it's not as heavy to move around, and it magnifies how much water you get. So today would be a day, anyone that has rain barrels, and you'd be surprised the percentage of people, especially the people that live in more rural locations, the rain barrels can collect water, and it helps them if they have to water. Say we have a day like today, we're going to have 2 inches of rain, and then suddenly we go into a real dry spell. I don't think that's going to happen, but now they have water in this huge barrel, gallons and gallons of it that they can use to water their plants, even if the city or town has a law against it, because that rain has already been collected. So those are things that you can do to help yourself in terms of manipulating the weather. So again, on a day like today, tonight, people with rain barrels are going to do very well.
Yeah, I know that there are quite a number of people that I know of in Rehoboth who will have those. Even some locally here in Attleboro who have some of these rain barrels, and they do save. I know there's some people in Rehoboth that I know, as I said, that swear by those. You know, especially when they had this drought this past year, and when they just finally lifted it just not too long ago, they were using that rain barrel almost every other day.
And there are some ways that you can do it if you don't want to get a rain barrel. But if you have a spout coming out the side of the house, think right. of one when you get heavy rains, you see all that water flowing out into the grass or whatever, and you're like, oh, that's nice. It's good. At least it's not collecting. But all that water that hits the roof, that's a large surface area. Mm-hmm. You can put there are things you can buy that'll collect that water. You know, you might have to go out there every hour, but collect the water that's coming out of that drain pipe and bring it in, and then you can throw it, say, in some other container, and then bring it back out, or if you have several, so you can just put one out, change it right at the same time. And those are ways that you can, you know, use you know, just like the sun in the summertime or the wintertime, depending on what you're trying to do, if you're trying to warm up or you don't want the sun on a hot day, and as we go through the next few months, obviously we're going to have some hot days. You close the drapes when you're leaving, generally, especially if no one's going to be there during the day. And that acts like, not only does it keep the sun out and warm, it makes it less hot inside, but you can turn the thermostat down on you if you're running the air conditioner. Or if you're not, you know, it just still keeps it, because a lot of people don't want to waste money with an air conditioner if no one's there for many hours during the day. But, you know, things like closing the windows, that adds another insulation. Talk about an insulation. When you have, a double-paned window in your house, which is good, double pane, that's why there's a little tiny bit of air space in between the double panes. You don't have double panes touching each other. There's a tiny air space. That air space acts like an insulator as well. And then the window. Then if you put down your blinds or drapes, that's another one. Now, it's not as efficient, but there's, just like we're talking about wearing, you know, two or three layers of clothes. And so that's another way you can keep out the heat in the summertime. And in the wintertime, when the sun is low in the sky and you have a bitter cold day, but it's a sunny day, say 20s, whatever, you want to leave the windows generally open. Now, you might want to close the drapes maybe on the north side where if it's a cold day, probably it's a north or northwest wind. You might want to close, again, if you're going to be gone for hours, close if you have a shade, but everything else, west, south, east, where the sun is going to be shining in on a cold winter day. And again, here we are talking about all the seasons, but this is what happens. You let the sun come in, and that will actually warm up the house more than if you had closed the shades when you left on a winter day. The worst thing you can do, especially on the south side of a building on a winter day, one thing is the days are so short you'd want to see the sun, but you want to let the sun shine through that window, and it acts like a mini heater. It won't heat it up drastically, but you'd be surprised. You do the same thing. You do these little tests. If you have a thermometer, stick it in the room one day when it's in the 20s, in the similar wind direction generally, and see what the temperature is. And then on the next day, do it, if it's a similar day, sunny, close the shades all in the house and see what it looks like. It'll be a lot cooler by several degrees.
Yeah, I know, you know, you talk about all these types of weather and stuff like that. What I was looking at just yesterday and even early this morning, I was thinking, you've got this month, you got, as I said, we got so many different types of weather coming up. But down the line, in the near future, you've got Memorial Day this month. Yep. Where you got the Attleboro is going to have its Memorial Day festivities, their parade, and all the activities. And
today, it's the actual real day, isn't it? The 29th, isn't it? Or is it the 30th that's the real day?
I thought it was the 30th or the 31st, but yeah.
Whatever, but
days,
we talk about the dates of holidays being not what they should be, but anyway, what's Attleboro you said?
Yeah, Attleboro is going to have their celebration with the parade, of course, down County Street. With the, I think it starts at 10, and early in the morning, and even over on the weekend, even on that Sunday, they'll have sort of a little program over at some of the cemeteries in the area. But when you get into something like that, people say, it's going to be very nice and warm, but you never know. They say it's the unofficial start of summer, but sometimes we've had experiences on Memorial Day where it was rather nasty out there as well.
Yeah, Memorial Day, I've said this to you many times and others, the climate, well, that's why I say Memorial Day, as far as I'm concerned, it's still springtime through about the first week of June, because the warmest three-month stretch runs from June 8th to about September 8th, if you broke the year up into quarters, as I've said before. And Memorial Day, climatologically on the temperature scale, is about 2 weeks behind Labor Day. Mm-hmm. So it means the rule of thumb is roughly every 3 days the temperatures change by 1 degree on average, although they are getting a little less as we get closer to the summer. But the point being that the temperature, roughly the average temperature during when the Memorial Day weekend takes place, is usually about 5 degrees cooler than than Labor Day. And that's why most years the Labor Day weekend weather-wise is usually warmer and more pleasant than Memorial Day weekend, because we're still in the volatile stage. We still have that chilly ocean. And, you know, again, I'm not going to hope that this happens, but it wouldn't surprise me as if one of the 3 days of the Memorial Day weekend we get a rainstorm, because it's climatologically, it is a wetter time, of the year than the first week of September,
right?
Which is September and October are the two sort of mellow months of rain. And that's why, again, Not that I'm hoping it, obviously, but there's a good chance that at least one of the 3 days of the Memorial Day weekend is going to rain.
I'm sure it probably will. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Be back with our last 12 minutes or so of with Jim Corbin live in studio. If you'd like to give him a call, I'd love to hear from you at 508-222-1320.
The Boston Poetry Slam has presented a free poetry slam in the Otmar Gallery of the Attleboro Arts Museum since 2007. This year's slam will take place on Friday, May 19th at 7 o'clock p.m. The event will be hosted by Simone Bobian, a national slam wrangler, one-time national finalist, and co-curator of the museum's annual slam events. All members of the public are invited to attend to listen, read in the open mic, or judge the slam. For more information, visit the museum's website, attleboroartsmuseum.org.
Are you one of the 30 million Americans who skip breakfast every day? We don't need to remind you that skipping breakfast can have a detrimental effect on your health. The Breakfast Place, located at 187 Pleasant Street, across from the Shell gas station, has been serving their customers meals made to order for over 30 years, using vegetables from local farms and cage-free eggs. Owner Casey Darconti opens the Breakfast Place every day from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. And for those on the go, all meals are available for takeout.
In celebration of the 200th birthday of Henry David Thoreau, the Oak Knoll Wildlife Sanctuary held a reading of selected Thoreau works. The event was held in conjunction with the Attleboro Public Library's Thoreau Bicentennial Celebration. The readings will be played this week on AACS Channel 15, on AACS.com, and on the AACS Roku and mobile apps.
All right. We are back, of course, at 10 minutes in front of the hour at 9 o'clock here on this Friday morning. Jim Corbin live in studio with us for a little bit longer. Of course, coming up at the top of the hour at 9, Paul Healy, of course, until 9 o'clock today. Tomorrow, as you know, we'll be live from the Behavioral Health and Wellness Fair tomorrow morning from noon to 4 o'clock down at the Arbor Fuller Hospital in South Attleboro. Tom Rafferty, Elaine LaRoche, and yours truly will be down there for about an hour or so for a little bit for tomorrow's. But that all of that, all those great festivities tomorrow will start from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. So if you can come on down, that will be great. Hopefully, we'll get you on the air for a few minutes as well. And Jim, I said earlier, tomorrow, I know Jim Jones will be with us as well. Tomorrow is Jim Jones's birthday as well. So
I heard that. Yeah.
And it's also, as I said, it is our fourth anniversary of this radio station and being. Back when we were, I always look behind me, WARL with the yeah. with the old banner that we have, and then we were RNP. But yeah, then
it's called that rest in peace. That RNP. Rest,
yes, exactly. But then, of course, it was.
And now ARA back again.
Yeah, 2 years ago, tomorrow is when we got the call letters back at WARA, which was really nice because I know a lot of people were trying to say, like, yeah, you know, we need that. You know, yeah, so it's I think it's 2 years tomorrow that we.
And has it always been 1320?
Yes.
Always?
Always been 1320.
Even back to 1950?
1950. It was 1320, yeah, when we. When the Otmar family bought the radio station, got the radio station, the tower is still down at the Falls Pond in North Attleboro, which is always nice, a nice little area there. So it's, 4 years ago. This is prior to getting this radio station on the air here, when Peter Arpin ran the studio between here and the Providence studio. We were looking a few months prior, we all came in here, people who we found out like, oh, somebody's going to be here. You know, let's put something together. Let's put our heads together. And then I was at that meeting. I was thinking, hey, because they had contacted me and said, like, you want to come back on the radio, you know? And, so that was a little over 4 years ago. And I still have not left basically the on air.
You know, and you mentioned that coming back, and of course I never was on here, but I want to thank Emily Johnson, who was the person told me about this, and coming up on 4 years for myself in June. I want to thank Emily Johnson for letting me know about the possibility of doing some weather here. So
yeah, your anniversary was
June 17th, the morning of Aaron Hernandez.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It's your fault.
Yeah, well, but I remember.
He bought the truck. That's right.
Well, it happened at night or whatever, the night, you know, but that morning is when we all found out Hernandez being carted out of his house, and that was June 17th, 2013. So.
Right. Yeah.
But what a way to begin. But I want to thank everyone who's helped me, you know, the time with you and Tom Rafferty and everyone else, Jim Jones. But it's Emily Johnson who her niece is a friend of mine. So we were able to, get started.
Right. And, you know, and one of the other people who was actually doing some work with us, Jay Rogers.
That's right.
Jay. You know, thought of like, hey, you know, maybe we can do something in the Attleboros. You know, he was on for a few months, then he went into traffic and did his own other things. But so that's always good. So, yeah, tomorrow is this anniversary for this radio station, 4 years in Attleboro.
Would it be Cisto de Mayo tomorrow?
Cisto de Mayo,
whatever it is. If it was French, I'd know it, but it's not. Anyway.
But today, May 5th, was in 1984, was the day that I actually started.
In the Bronson Building?
From the Bronson Building. The fourth floor of the Bronson Building, was a Saturday night, 8 to midnight, and where I actually still did the work, Saturdays and Sundays, and then the Dave Kane said, maybe about 6 months later, 6-7 months later, he decided, like, you belong during the day, you know. So I was put on from 4 to 6 doing PM update with actually with the news director back then was not only Frank Titus, but at the time it was Sarah Reynolds, who is a current city councilor.
Oh, okay.
And she was our news director for a while, because she wasn't known as Sarah Reynolds back then, she was Sarah Swenson, but that was her name at that time. But it was like it's like from there all the way back here, and you know, I got an email yesterday and even this morning from a couple of people said congratulations, you know, stuff like that. It says, in fact, there's a couple of people out there that did email me yesterday when I was mentioning this. They said, you know, I remember when you first got on the air. Like, so they were with us since May of 1984, and they're still out there.
Still
33
out there.
Years later, there are still some people out there still enjoying some of this this community radio station.
Yeah, that's funny. Now you say May of 84. My first job in television was in Burlington, Vermont in 1983, and then a little over a year later, 14 months later, it was right around May or June of 84 that I started in Channel 6 in Portland, Maine.
Okay.
So it was right around that same time, and I was a youngin then. I'm 2 years younger than you.
Yeah.
So, but it's funny you mentioned you saying May of '84, and I remember it was late May of '84 that I started the second thing in Portland, Maine, and I was there for about 7 years before coming to Boston area and stuff, 56 and stuff. So. With Jack Hines and
Channel 56. Now, what year were you at 56?
I was there for about 2 or 3 years. I was the weekend weather guy, although I'd fill in. Ron Harris was the weekday guy who I went to college with. I was there late '80s and early '90s. Because I left Maine about 1990, and was sort of doing a little bit of everything. I was there and also did some fill in out in Springfield.
It was
around 90. I want to say I was there from about 90 to 93. Mm. And then in 93 is when I started doing a little bit of Channel 10 for the first time.
Well, it was next door to the Globe, 56.
56, right by the Globe, right almost across the street from
KBG, right?
No, it was. LVI at the time, 56
right. Okay.
In Roman
it was,
numerals.
KBG was earlier than that.
Yeah. It was WLVI, which is 56 in Roman numerals. And it was actually diagonally across the street from BC High, where I went to high school. And, of course, the Boston Globe is right there as well, Morrissey Boulevard. But, yeah, I worked with Jack Hines, and Frank Malicote was doing the sports, if you remember him. And I remember it was right around – we had – I think I've said this to you once. We had a – it was a time when Wade Boggs was playing for the Red Sox, and he came in for an interview, but it was also around the time that he was kind of playing around with women and that girlfriend he had, and there was an issue with that. And he came in, and he had to go by the weather office to get into the newsroom, and he came in, his hand on my shoulder, how you doing, you know, how's the weather going to be for blah, 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 blah. And then it was right around the time when they started asking him questions, because they did an interview with him in the studio, and they asked him about Wade Boggs and everything. But I just remember him coming in, you know, putting his hand on my shoulder, and, you know, and then a few minutes later, he's on the air. But that was during the Wade Boggs stuff, though.
That's not Wade Boggs. In
No, that's a man hug.
Robert Redford.
Ah, thank you.
You know what?
Robert Redford?
Yeah. He looks like Robert Redford a little bit, I think.
Some people say he looks like Donald Trump.
Or Howdy Doody.
We all have our lookalikes. Like someone, you know, I used to look like a little bit of Charlie Brown when I was younger, but I looked like the guy, the sidekick on The Price is, not The Price is Right, who's the other one, the other show in the morning that's on, Let's Make a Deal.
Oh, okay. Oh, you mean Jay Stewart.
Whoever that
Monty
guy
Hall's,
is.
Monty Hall's sidekick was Jay Stewart.
But the one that's on the current one,
Oh, I don't even watch that one now.
No, I don't either, but I've seen it on occasion. Someone said, you look like the guy on a slightly younger version of the. And I looked at it and I said, you know what? I looked almost exactly like that maybe 15 years ago.
Wow.
But anyway.
All right. Well, anyways, we're going to wrap things up in just a second. Paul's coming your way in just a moment or two. But, of course, hopefully you'll come on down tomorrow down at the Arbor Fuller Hospital from noon to 4. Their event, of course, is on at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning until 4 o'clock. First of all, thanks for coming in once again.
Sure.
And, we'll be back with you on Monday morning, bright and early, starting at 6 a.m. Paul's coming your way in just a couple of moments. And, of course, we hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. We got, of course, some little rain to come through the area first. But we'll be joining you, of course, once again on Monday. Have yourself a great weekend, folks.